There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Week 10 starts it. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and with me, as always, for the Start Sit Show every single Thursday, it's my good friends, Derrickson, Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, Andrew Erickson, Mr. Big Pot Energy himself, and of course, it's all of you out there listening every single week, and we appreciate all of you who are big fans of the show and listen every single week here, and week 10 is upon us. So it's time to get to the starts and the sits. It's time to get to the RBs, so let's just get right after it.
Start or sit?
Derek Brown, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the running backs that you feel good about in Week 10 in fantasy football.
First guy that's going to make the top of the list, Joe, and I have him as an RB2. ECR is lagging behind. They have him an RB27. That's El Jefe. He took him 1 week, guys. 1 week to take over the backfield. He led the team in target share. He led the team in red zone opportunities with 5 versus Mostert's 2. And he's been explosive this year. His 8th in breakaway run rate, 12th in yards per touch. And now we know that you can run on the Cleveland Browns. Since week 4, they're bottom of the league in basically every rushing metric. 26th in rushing yards per game, 32nd in EPA per rush. So I look at El Jefe as a solid RB2 with some upside. He honestly could get into the end zone twice in this game, and I would not be surprised. The other guy that I'm going to go down the well for, and I'm kind of surprised, like, he's as low as he is, but I get it. He's ECR RB19. I have him inching closer and closer to high-end RB2 status, and that's David Montgomery. And for all of the Bears' whims and talking about, oh, this could be a hot hand situation, that lasted 1 week, fellas. 1 week. And then it was Dave Montgomery's backfield again. Back-to-back weeks he's coming off of with 70% or more snaps. He's averaging over 16 touches, 60 yards per game. And, well, we know you could run on the Lions. They're bottom of the league in dang near everything versus running back. So I look at Dave Montgomery as almost like, if he's going to play 70% of the snaps and it's versus the Lions, yes, I'm high on Justin Fields, but I won't be surprised if David Montgomery gets in the end zone twice this week.
All right.
Versus ECR.
Jeff Wilson, Montgomery, those are guys you feel good about. Give me one more guy for week 10 that you're really excited about playing.
Well, and some of this is contingent upon JD McKissick maybe being out. We still got to see if that happens. But last week, we saw Antonio Gibson snaps crest above 50%. Last week, he went back into lead back status. Brian Robinson has done nothing over the last few weeks. He's not factoring into the passing game. I have him at RB2, right in line with ECR as a low-end RB2. And I think he's fine in that territory. I think he's got some upside because what we've seen out of Antonio Gibson since the workload's been split up a little bit more is he's been fresher. He's been more explosive. He's had 67 total yards over since week 7 on only 13 touches. The volume goes up a little bit this week. I think he's an easy top 24 running back. And you can run on the Philadelphia Eagles. This is not the Eagles' stonewall of yesteryear, where they're 27th in rushing yards per game and 31st in EPA per rush. So Gibson, while there is a downside if McKissick plays and he goes back into the 30% snap range, if he doesn't play, I think there's a lot of upside here too.
And Antonio Gibson this week is higher in the ECR than Brian Robinson, coming off a week where Antonio Gibson had 11 carries for 36 yards. He also had two receptions on three targets there. So he only accumulated 6 fantasy points. So not a great week, but you do mention that the Eagles' one weakness is you can utilize those running backs. Andrew Erickson, what do you think about Antonio Gibson as a start this week against the Eagles?
Yeah, I think that Antonio Gibson, the numbers are kind of trending in his direction as the lead in this particular backfield. He's way more involved as a receiver than Brian Robinson is. He's more efficient as a rusher than Brian Robinson is. And when you look at the Eagles defense up the middle, I mean, they're allowing 5 yards per carry to running backs. Now, a lot of it's because they're just winning every single game, so teams don't have the volume to run on them. But when they are run against, efficient is what happens. Like, the running backs are efficient against this defense. So I think Antonio Gibson, as the talent, he's the more explosive of the two running backs. I can see the case for upside, especially with McKissick out. McKissick, the last time these two teams played each other, saw 9 targets in that game. So if you're giving that workload to Gibson, okay, now you're looking at an RB2 type of play.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the other side of the coin. The guys that you don't feel so great about in week 10, maybe you can't sit them, but at least you should factor into your lineups as you set them what you might need in the flex to offset possibly a disappointing performance. So, D-Bro, who do you have in that category that fits the bill in week 10?
Do people realize that Miles Sanders not still playing the Texans? He's not running against Houston this week. They have him at RB12 in ECR. Like, I'm not, you know, burying the guy, but I have him as a low-end RB2. Because all of his value comes from early downs. He's only got a 5% target share over the season, and Washington, you cannot run against. They're 11th in rushing yards per game, 2nd in EPA per rush, and have the third lowest explosive run rate allowed. So for a running back that all of his value is tied to the early downs against a team that is about the only thing they do well is stop the run, I cannot put Miles Sanders up in RB1 range.
All right, so Miles Sanders, somebody got to be worried about. Who's another guy at RB you should be worried about in week 10?
Devin Singletary. He is RB25 in ECR. I have him down in the 30s, and I'm probably going to drop him a little bit lower. And this is not because of the Josh Allen news. This is all because of Devin Singletary has 0 touchdown equity in this offense. He is 29th in red zone touches this season. He has 1 touchdown all year long. He is going against a Vikings run defense since week 5 that, again, we're talking about really good run defenses. They are top 3 in rushing yards per game, EPA, and explosive run rate allowed. And the thing that has helped Devin Singletary so much this year has been his target share. He's top 10 in receptions and receiving yards. Naheem Hines has another week to sit here and digest the playbook. So for a player that we can't count on touchdowns, his work on early downs is going to be bad versus this defense, and his routes are probably going to get cut by Naheem Hines, and we're not even factoring the quarterback downgrade. I'm going to be extremely low on Devin Singletary this week.
All right, Erickson, you've been a defender of Devin Singletary coming into the year. He is sitting at RB32 on the season, and certainly a lot of the points that Derek brings up, Naheem Hines' presence, potentially what this offense looks like if Josh Allen can't play. Are you in that same mind of now you have to look at Devin Singletary in a whole different light and it's not a good one?
Yeah, I think that he's a low floor type of low ceiling play this week. I have him below in ECR as well, RB29 in my ranking. So not as high on Devin Singletary as a lot of other people. But to make the case for Singletary, I really think if Josh Allen doesn't play, you know, you listed off Devin Singletary and how he's not used in the red zone. Okay, well, you take Josh Allen out of the equation. Now, he is going to be used in the red zone. Devin Singletary leads the team in red zone opportunities this year at 18. He's still playing all the snaps in the offense, and you could see the team leaning more on the ground game in a cold weather game without their starting quarterback. And the thing with Devin Singletary as well, yes, the Vikings are good against running backs, but they're horrible in the red zone. Like, their defense is so bad in the red zone, very good in between the 20s. So if there's ever a week where Devin Singletary might actually score a touchdown, It's probably going to happen this week against a very bad red zone defense and with Josh Allen potentially not playing.
Defending the honor of Devin Singletary, Andrew Erickson, since August of 2022. Very good. All right, let's play a little game of Who Should I Start? And this, of course, comes to you all from the free tool, Who Should I Start? Over fantasypros.com/start. So go check it out. It's really fun. You plug the two guys in, you'll get the ECR consensus of who you should be playing in your lineups. And let's play a little game here with David Montgomery and DeAndre Swift. So Swift is going to be a guy who, theoretically, against the Bears, it's a good matchup. How much is he going to play? We don't know. David Montgomery in that same game on the flip side there will cede some carries, potentially even as many as 12 more against Khalil Herbert in his own backfield. So I know you like Montgomery, D-Bro, but would you play him over DeAndre Swift this week?
Yeah, this is an easy call. You're going to get... I'm going to take the guy that's going to play 70% of the snaps over the guy that might not even play seven snaps. So, yeah, okay. Give me Montgomery.
Wow, you're throwing some shade on Swift there. That
played
was
10 snaps last week.
Harsh tie. Ugh. All right, let's go to you, Andrew Erickson. Give me this one here. David Montgomery or DeAndre Swift, who would you rather start?
I'm starting David Montgomery. You know, every time I go on the show, we talk about whoever's playing the Lions and just say, hey, just play the running back against the Lions. And it usually works out. So I'm just going to play David Montgomery.
All right, fair enough. The ECR agrees with you. 63% for David Montgomery, and it is the safer play. There's no doubt about that. So 63-37, poor DeAndre Swift continues to be a fantasy albatross in a lot of circles. All right, here's another one, too. Talk about the island of misfit toys here. Ezekiel Elliott or Kareem Hunt? We don't quite know the status of Ezekiel Elliott, has his health, and what's that all looking like as we're recording the show. Kareem Hunt, feels like we haven't seen this guy in a month. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. I know they were probably putting him in bubble wrap for a trade, and guess what? That didn't happen. So now Kareem Hunt will get, theoretically, the Miami Dolphins. Zeke's going to get Green Bay. Both guys are on the road. Andrew, who would you rather start, Zeke or Kareem?
I think I'm just going to roll with Ezekiel Elliott here, you know, assuming that he is healthy and upright. Just think the Packers' run defense it's been horrible this year, and the team seems like they still want to keep Zeke involved, and that means he's going to get goal line touches. Like, that's really how he scores his fantasy points, is he scores touchdowns, and I expect Dallas to score a plethora of touchdowns here in this matchup. So I'm going to go with Zeke over Kareem Hunt, whose role just it's question marks. Like, you're hoping he gets involved as a receiver, but he's still second banana behind Nick Chubb. So I'll go with Zeke.
So is there a plethora of touchdowns for you as well, Derek Brown, for Ezekiel Elliott, or do you like Kareem Hunt?
I don't want to know plethora of either one of these guys, but I'll take it. Zeke. I've got them back to back in ranks. I've got Zeke at RB30 and Kareem Hunt's RB31. So I'll go with Zeke just because, like Erickson's talking about, I think he's a better bet for a touchdown. As long as he has a heartbeat and semi-functional legs, Jerry Jones is going to be like, all right, we go as Zeke goes. So yeah, I guess I'll go with Zeke.
I guess Zeke is 68% on that side of the ECR. Kareem Hunt just 32. So Zeke and Montgomery are the winners here. Another big winner is always Austin Eckler, and we're giving away an Austin Eckler autographed jersey to all of you in our monthly giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest. Remember, go leave a review of the podcast wherever you get your pods. You can put this one on pause right now and go leave a nice review. 5 stars. Joe and Derek's integrate. Love fantasy football, love fantasy pros, blah, blah. You know the drill. So go do that. We appreciate that. Then go to fantasypros.com/contest and enter to win the Eckler jersey from pristineauction.com. And of course, don't forget, you can get more entries into the contest if you are a subscriber of ours and you follow us over on the Fantasy Pros TikTok, the Instagram, and the Twitter machine. Go follow us on all three, and that gives you 4 total entries for the Austin Eckler jersey. So go get after it, everybody. And let's get after the wide receivers. Andrew Erickson, who are you excited about starting at wide receiver in week 10?
Yep. So I'm going to go with a guy I talked about trading on the trade show. I still think you should trade high on him, but if you still have him, I think he should be in your lineup. Chris Godwin, I have him at wide receiver 13. He's ECR wide receiver 20. Look, the volume is there for him. 46 targets over his last 4 games, 11.5 per game. The production has been horrible. Under 10 fantasy points per game as wide receiver 35, 0 touchdowns. But look, eventually you got to hope that the volume is going to turn into something. And I think in this particular matchup against the Seahawks are the number one defense in terms of fewest fantasy points allowed to the perimeter. So that means their targets are then forced into the middle of the field where Chris Godwin obviously runs the majority of his routes. Seahawks rookie slot corner, Kobe Bryant, ranked second in yards and catches allowed from inside this year. So Chris Godwin's going to get double-digit targets. He'll probably catch 6 or 7 balls. And you're just praying he either falls in the end zone or gets over 50 receiving yards. That's really the take on Chris Godwin. My next guy here is a little bit of a deeper player, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Wide receiver 32 in my rankings. He's wide receiver 42 in the ECR. We got to wake up with Peoples-Jones because he has more receiving yards than Chris Godwin does on 16 fewer targets this year. And since week 4, Peoples-Jones, wide receiver 34 in points per game, and he actually leads the Browns in receiving yards and receptions. So he's been low-key, very productive in an offense that has obviously been mostly about Amari Cooper, but David Njoku still coming back from his injury. I think Peoples-Jones, who actually ran more routes than Amari Cooper last week, was more productive with 81 receiving yards, 4 catches, 20% target share. I mean, no receiver has more receiving yards without a touchdown score than Peoples-Jones. So I think that he's in a good upside spot as wide receiver 3 against the Dolphins defense, 4th worst in pass defense EPA this year. So Peoples-Jones, you know, if you could get him off the waiver wire, he was on bye. I think that he's a perfect plug and play for some upside in your wide receiver 3 or flex spot.
Yeah. All right. Give me one more guy here at wide receiver you feel good about starting in week 10.
All right. It had to happen. Now we're talking Cortland Sutton here. I have him wide receiver 23. He's wide receiver 31 in the ECR because everyone else is waving the white flag. It's over for Cortland Sutton. He sucks. He's horrible. He's had like 2 or 3 bad games. Yeah, that happens at wide receiver. So here's the case for why you should go back to Cortland Sutton this week. Russell Wilson, looking at his touchdown rate, 2.6% is by far the lowest of his career. 6.2% average is his career touchdown rate because his offense has been horrible in the red zone. Titans defense. No team has allowed a higher percentage of scores through the air than Tennessee. They are a pass funnel defense. Number one in pass play rate face this season. So I think the volume through the air will be there for Sutton. And we look at Sutton when he's gotten opportunities this year. Wide receiver 22 in expected fantasy points per game. 7th in expected receiving touchdowns. He leads the Broncos with 9 red zone targets, but he scored 1 time. So I think there's going to be some positive regression coming for a guy like Cortland Sutton, who's facing a defense that ranks 4th in terms of touchdowns allowed to wide receivers, 3rd most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, and most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers on the perimeter. Those are all the things that Cortland Sutton does. He's a perimeter receiver that catches touchdowns. So I think you should go back to him this week. I know a lot of people disagree with me on Sutton. He was a horrible pick, Andrew, but look, it's do or die. I'll wave the white flag. If he can't deliver this week, I'll wave the white flag, but I'm going back to
you. You have to do it on the show, though. I want you to have the white flag on the show and wave it here on the YouTube channel as well. Boy, oh boy, you have that one bye and absence really does truly make the heart grow fonder. 1 week without Cortland Sutton, and you've gone right back down there. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Fanimal. I love live events, but I hate buying tickets. The hidden fees suck. It's the worst. It's like paying for an invisible person to go with you to the event who's not even there. I can't stand it. It's a nightmare. But then I discovered Fanimal. Fanimal has tickets to everything. Concerts, festivals, baseball, basketball, and of course, the NFL. And there are no fees. That's right. You heard me. No fees. The price you see is the price you pay. And you heard it here first. Fanimal is the cheapest place on the internet to find NFL tickets. We've all experienced how painful it is coordinating going to events with family. And I always end up fronting a bunch of money and then chasing down the friends and family to get reimbursed. And if someone drops out, you're stuck with the whole bill. That's even worse than that. But Fanimal's patent group purchase makes it easy to split payments with your friends so nobody's left holding the bag and you don't have to commit until your friends do. Group purchase isn't yet enabled for NFL tickets, but it will be soon. In the meantime, check out what's going on at Fanimal today. Oh yeah, Fanimal also has amazing customer service too. Don't take my word for it. Check out their hundreds of 5-star reviews online. And the next time you need tickets, go to Fanimal.com or download the Fanimal app and use the promo code FANIMALPROS, that's one word, FANIMALPROS, for $25 off your first purchase. That's Fanimal, FANIMAL.com, promo code FANIMALPROS, and check out Fanimal and experience more when it comes to getting your tickets. And now, back to the action. So let's talk about some other guys that you want to maybe think twice about at the wide receiver position in week 10. Who are those guys?
Curtis Samuel, for me, I don't feel great about starting him this week. I have him at wide receiver 37. He's wide receiver 32 in the ECR. I mean, it's just a brutal matchup for really all these Washington wide receivers against this great secondary for the Philadelphia Eagles, third in pass defense EPA and third in passing yards allowed per game. We've seen Samuel's targets really dip over the last couple weeks with Taylor Heinicke. He only has 4 per game over the last 2 weeks. And guys, like, we wouldn't be talking about Curtis Samuel at all in his like top 10 performance from last week if the ref hadn't blown out one of the defenders and given Curtis Samuel like free reign to catch a long touchdown from Taylor Heinicke, who's just like throwing the ball into triple coverage no matter what. So Samuel's box score from last week is a total fluke. You do not want to chase that. And even looking when the last time he played the Eagles, he had 10 targets. He finished as outside the top 30 in terms of wide receiver scoring because he wasn't putting up any type of receiving yards. 7 catches for 48 yards. So I'm trying to get away from Curtis Samuel. Really, this Washington offense is just not in for a good time here against Philly.
And the one guy that you really want to get away from, this was a guy that I was actually saying was my most sittable player last week here on the show. And goodness gracious, that turned out to be correct. And now maybe the situation's gotten even worse for Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah, Michael Pittman, 30% target share over the last 2 weeks with Ellinger at quarterback. 10 catches for 75 yards on 15 targets. Great 5 yards per target, which is basically Deontay Johnson. That's the Deontay Johnson stat line.
Is that Ben Roethlisberger playing quarterback in Indianapolis? I can't quite tell. I got to squint to see.
Yeah, it's a bad situation for Michael Pittman. The offensive line can't protect the quarterback, which means all the wide receivers are going to suffer as a result. Indy's offensive line, 5th highest pressure rate faced and 5th highest sack conversion rate. So even though the Raiders have been pretty bad at generating pressure, even though they have Max Crosby and they have Chandler Jones, this is a week where you're probably going to start the Raiders DST. And that means you don't want to start Colts players on offense. And that obviously includes Michael Pittman. So I know that the matchup on paper looks good, but it doesn't matter if you have no one at quarterback and a line that can't block and create time for those receivers to get open.
All right. What are your thoughts, Deepro, about Michael Pittman Jr. and this Colts offense is going to be running now with a different regime here at the top? Jeff Saturday coming in, and look, I know he's saying all the right things, but this is not like when you pluck out a baseball manager from commentary and, you know, give him a job. This is different. The NFL is a little bit different. The preparation level is a little bit different. So what are your thoughts here about Pittman and frankly, the direction of the Colts at this point for the rest of the season?
It's a clown show. It's ridiculous. I hate it for Michael Pittman because this is supposed to be the breakout season. He's blown his way, guys. And then Jim Irsay just totally just poo-poos the whole thing. I'm hand-holding here with Erickson. I've got Michael Pittman at wide receiver 35. Woof. Like, I do not want to start Michael Pittman at all. I'm not going to say a litany, but a good bit of receivers that people might have lower than Michael Pittman, considering ECR, like, I will start George Pickens over Michael Pittman. I will start Terrace Marshall over Michael Pittman. I will start Donovan Peoples-Jones over Michael Pittman this week. I want no part of this offense. I want no part of a Sam Ellinger-led offense with they just finally named somebody to call plays. And we have no clue if that person's even going to be good at it. So, no.
Hey, put some respect on Parks Frazier. Hey, come on.
Parks Frazier.
I mean, kudos for the name. Past that,
it is a cool name. Parks Frazier.
It is a cool name.
And look, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's this wild scenario where everybody gets together and for the good of the team and
well, they have to meet Jeff Saturday. They'd be like, "Hey, I'm your coach. Nice to meet you."
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. All right, let's play a little. Who should I start here at the wide receiver position? Let's start with Jerry Jeudy against the Tennessee Titans. Versus Darnell Mooney of the Chicago Bears against the Detroit Lions. So, Andrew Erickson, who would you rather start this week, Mooney or Jeudy?
Yeah, but I have them ranked back-to-back in my rankings, so it's close for me. But I think I'm just going to stay in the flames with this Bears offense. Like, we're starting to see it really start to click here. They're playing the Lions. It's another great matchup. And the thing with Jeudy, the only concern is, like, you know, what if I like Sutton, obviously, this week. You know, what if it goes back to him? Like, they really flip-flopped in terms of production, like, all year long. So if it is a Sutton week, not a Jeudy week, you could see him just kind of falling out of place. Whereas Mooney, we know he's the guy. It's not Chase Claypool. It's not Equanimeous St. Brown. It's not Dante Pettis. It's Darnell Mooney. So I would go with Mooney.
All right. For you, Derek Brown, is it Jeudy or Mooney?
I mean, foreshadowing, it's definitely going to be Mooney. He's
People want to write him off, and I really don't understand it. He's getting a ton of targets over the last few weeks. He has a massive air yard share. We see this offense ticking upwards. Yeah, I'll go with Darnell Mooney.
Interesting enough, I agree. All three of us are for Mooney, but Jerry Jeudy, 68% of the experts agree on that side. So we are in the minority for this one, but it's
draft
okay.
Capital believe, Zombies. He's a first round pick. Guess. Went to Alabama.
I guess. All right, here you go. We're going to test the Michael Pittman situation too here. Michael Pittman Jr. against the Las Vegas Raiders on the road, or Diontae Johnson at home against the New Orleans Saints. Derek Brown, who would you rather start, Pittman or DJ? We talk about those 5 yards per
It's a Spider-Man meme. 5 yards
per target. And again, yeah. I did these before the gentlemen put their names together every single week. And we are right there. We are so the synergy of the program. Synergy. That's what we have here. So DJ or Pittman?
They are right next to each other in my ranks. And I got Diontae Johnson at wide receiver 34. And I've got Pittman at wide receiver 35. I'll go with Johnson. One, for a slight uptick in quarterback play. And two, I mean, they're going to get similar volume. So give me Diontae.
Erickson, same for you?
Yeah, I'm going to take Diontae. I don't know. I feel good. Maybe good's not the right word. I feel encouraged about Kenny Pickett coming out of the bye
week. That's a good
word. I feel like the Steelers are going to show encouraged. Some stuff that's on right. offense, you know, stuff. With Diontae and George Pickens. So yes, Diontae Johnson for me.
Stuff that was good. Good stuff. See? Encouraged. All my positive Steeler vibes going out there. I agree. Again, we're 3 for 3 on this one, but ECR is against us. 79% of people are living in the past. They are saying that Michael Pittman over Diontae Johnson, but just can't get there. Can't do it. Won't do it. Not going to do it. Let's get to the tight ends of the quarterbacks. Before we do, just a reminder, if you want to have some fun, go join our Discord, fantasybros.com/chat. Again, free to join. And don't forget, we have that touchdown contest going. And so plenty of time. We're giving away jerseys that are autographed. We're also giving away money to our Fantasy Pro shop. So don't worry about like, well, it's too late in the season for me to join. No, it's not. Because if you win this week, you get $25 to the Fantasy Pro shop. You can buy yourself a hoodie, hat, t-shirt, whatever you want. Maybe two of the three things. I don't know. But you can go out there and play a little fun game there, the touchdown call contest that is over there on our Discord. So let's get to our quarterbacks. Who should I start this week? Daniel Jones against the Houston Texans or Jared Goff against the Chicago Bears? Andrew Erickson, which two of these guys would you stream in week 10?
I'm going with Daniel Jones. I'm chasing the rushing upside with the New York Giants quarterback, averaging 8 carries, 45 rushing yards per game, 3rd in QB scramble yards, 6th in design rushing yards. This is the world we live in. You want the quarterbacks that can deliver on the ground, and he's playing the Texans, who can't stop anything on the ground. So I'm going to go with Daniel Jones.
If I had a nickel for every time Daniel Jones was in a good spot to have a good game and actually had a good game, I'd be broke. I can't believe we're always in this scenario. It looks good. It should be good. I just have a terrible feeling like I always do. I agree with you. It should be Daniel Jones. Derek Brown, what do you think? Is it Daniel Jones or is it Jared Goff?
Joe's just still, you're still
I'm
harboring.
Just keeping it real.
No, you're still harboring the issues that Daniel Jones.
I am the king of keeping it real. I'm keeping it real. I am the king. You can see on the YouTube, I've put my crown on.
Oh, you're the king. You're the king of the Eli Manning fan club, okay? You're just still ticked off that he replaced Eli Manning.
I believe you
should
refer to him as Hall of Famer Eli Manning. Hall of Famer Eli Manning. But you may continue as I put my crown back onto its pillow. I have a pillow here for the crown.
Unfortunately, King, I'm going to overrule you on this one. I'm going with Daniel Jones as well. We're
going
to lean into the ground.
I am going with Daniel Jones. I'm just saying we're setting ourselves up for
disappointment. You just made the bull case against him.
I'm saying that every time he's in one of these smash spots, I always feel like I'm just looking at myself at the end of the day going, well, that didn't work out. And how many times on the DFS show, even this year, have we done that to ourselves?
Joe, do you feel better about picking Daniel Jones over Jared Goff versus when we picked Aaron Rodgers over Jared Goff last week?
Well, I mean, the Detroit Lions did win that football game, did they not? Just saying. <Oof. laughs> Just saying. Did pick the Lions to win outright on the betting pros. Just saying. Just talking about it. But yeah, look, it's Daniel Jones. It's just, again, we'll see what happens. All right, let's get to Kenny Pickett or PJ Walker for those super flex folks out there. So Erickson, you want to continue with your renewed optimism for Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, the Saints or the Steelers have not been afraid to kind of let him sling the ball. They can't run it. And New Orleans defense has been really just up and down. It seems like one week they're just like shutting teams out, and the next week they're getting blown up the doors out of. So, look, if you get the bad version of the Saints defense and Kenny Pickett slinging the ball downfield, which is what he's done a lot this year, then I think he could have a productive game. So I'm going to go with Kenny Pickett. I just the floor with PJ Walker is literally negative points, and I don't want that. I think Kenny Pickett, also Pickett runs more than PJ Walker does too. So I think that's a little bit underrated, his athleticism to make plays off script. I'm excited to see what the Steelers offense can do. So I'm going to go with Pickett.
2 for 2. I'm with Kenny Pickett also. You want to make a clean sweep, D-Bro?
That's a clean sweep. I mean, one, I'm higher on Pickett because the Saints can't pressure their bottom five in pressure rate. Number two, I can't honestly tell you guys that PJ Walker even finishes the game. So
that is also true.
I cannot pick a quarterback that I don't even know if he makes it in the starting job to halftime over Kenny Pickett this week.
74% of experts agree with us on Kenny Pickett. By the way, Daniel Jones just 58-42 over Jared Goff. It's very close. Very close. Almost upsettingly close. But I won't let it ruin this podcast or my day. I won't let it happen. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. It's that time of year where we're all feeling a little thankful, where we're all looking for that special Thanksgiving feast with all the trimmings. And speaking of trimmings, how about trimming down there for once? My God, look at yourself. You need to take care of yourself. What you need is the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped, the greatest male grooming tool in the history of the universe. And now you can get your pumpkins all nice and trimmed with manscaped.com by using the promo code JOEYP for free shipping and 20% off. And in the Performance Package 4.0, you get the Lawnmower 4.0, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Provider Toner, the Performance Boxer Briefs, and the Nose Hair Trimmer known as the Weed Whacker. That's right. It's a cornucopia for your cornucopias. Go right now to manscaped.com, get that 20% off and free shipping with that promo code JOEYP, and get all the tools you need to finally take care of your business. Look, just because it's sweater weather outside doesn't mean you have to have a sweater on underneath your sweater. You know what I'm talking about. It's out of control, and it's time to take control with Manscaped. So once again, go to manscaped.com, get that 20% off and free shipping. Use that promo code JOEYP. That's JOEYP. Your balls will thank you. And now, back to the action. Let's talk about tight end streamers. Guys, we want to get in that lineup for this week. Derek Brown, why don't you kick things off here? Give us the tight end streamer of the week in your mind.
Well, Darren Waller is now in the IR. We know the guy that's going to run all the routes, and it might sound gross, but Foster Moreau. I have him ranked right now, just updated my ranks, as tight end 14. I'm curious where ECR is going to come in. But the matchup is good, guys. If we're looking for streamers, we want to go to the matchup. Outside of, yes, Foster Moreau is talented, he's athletic, all those different things. But when we look for streamers, they're matchup-based, guys. The Colts, with their zone-heavy approach, are allowing the 5th highest catch rate, the 10th most receiving yards, and the 9th most touchdowns to opposing tight ends. Foster Moreau gets into the end zone this week. He's probably going to make it into the top 12.
All right, so Foster Moreau is one. Erickson, do you have one for us as well?
Yeah, and this is someone that the ECR is very high on, as you should be. So Greg Dulcich, Denver Broncos tight end. I have him tight end 6. He's ECR tight end 7. And that honestly might be surprising for some people to hear how high he's ranked, because he was available on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues because the Broncos were on bye week. So this is a reminder to make sure he's not available on your waiver wire, number one, Greg Dulcich, because he's just been a monster producer in his first 3 games. You know, last week or in week 8, he led the Broncos in receiving yards on 5 targets. He saw over 100 air yards. So he's not a tight end that's just seeing these dump off passes. Like, he's seeing legitimate routes down the field, played 80% of the snaps, ran around 91% of the dropbacks. Like, this is top 5 fantasy tight end usage that Greg Dulcich is seeing. He's played 3 NFL games, and he's already basically seeing an elite level of usage. So I feel great about starting him. He's a 17% target share. He's averaging 4 catches for 61 yards in his first 3 games. And he's part of the reason why Sutton's production has fallen off the last 3 weeks. It's because Greg Dulcich, a rookie tight end, has really taken on a big role. It's also a great matchup here against the Titans, ranked 3rd in receiving yards and targets allowed to tight ends this season. So, I mean, I'm starting Dulcich in some flex spots, honestly, because I picked him up on the waiver because I couldn't find a running back or wide receiver. So, but hey, I'll roll with this Dulcich kid and see where it takes me.
All right, let's see where this next one takes us. Who should I start here? Cade Otton coming off a touchdown performance last week, but news of Cameron Brate potentially working his way back in healthy, or Cole Kmet, who has been on fire, a couple touchdowns in the last few games. I think one of the better talented young tight ends in the game. Finally, the Bears offense coming around potentially too. So, Andrew Erickson, who would you rather start, Cade Otton or Cole Kmet this week?
Stay in the flames, guys. When offense start to heat up, you just want to keep playing their players. So for me, it's Cole Kmet. Just too afraid and concerned about the split potentially with Cameron Brate coming back for Cade Otton. And a lot of his numbers last week were very inflated by just the last drive of the game. Like, he caught a touchdown, a long pass from Brady. But before that, Cade Otton was basically doing nothing, getting his cardio in, as we like to say, with the high snap share players that do nothing. So I'm going to go with Cole Kmet.
Plus, Cade Otton, you know, has a bye next week, too. So what if they come back and Brate is completely healthy and takes over even more of it? I think there's a very short-sighted stream of Cade Otton this week. I would really advise against if Cole Kmet's floating out there. Cole Kmet is the better this week ad, in my opinion, and the better ad for the long-term rest of season, potentially. D-Bro, are you on the Cole Kmet side or the Cade Otton side of this argument?
I'm with Cole Kmet, and this goes back to why I was so high on Bob Tonyan last week. Detroit Lions are not good versus tight ends. They're 24th in DVOA, and they're top 10 in catch rate allowed, yards per reception, and the fourth most receiving touchdowns allowed. So yeah, give me Cole Kmet. I think he scores this week.
Well, Bob Tonyan, your friend Bob, wasn't very good last week. I just want to point that out.
Bob was terrible.
Bob was terrible. The Packers were terrible. Miserable. Hey,
Lazard was pretty good. My start of the week.
Lazard was pretty good.
Right. Lazard was good.
Pretty good. Well, let's get to the starts of the week.
Starts and sits of the week.
We crushed this last week. The starts, the sits, and the flex appeal guys, too, between Palmer, between Terrace Marshall, your call last week. Like, we just crushed this. So now it's time to get back to business and do it again. Starts of the week. We started the program with Jeffrey Wilson Jr. Well, we're going to end it with him too. Full circle here. That's my dude. I haven't ranked higher than Mostert this week. No, I'm not crazy. I just living in the reality of the Miami Dolphins offense. I think Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to have a huge game here against the Cleveland Browns. So get him in your lineup. Let's go. You got to start him. It's too good of a matchup. D-Bro, who's your must start of the week?
To the Mooney. I'm going Darnell Mooney, baby. Last six games. He's got a 28% target share, 38% air yard share. Oh, and everybody's just sleeping on the fact that he's wide receiver 23. He's a top 24 wide receiver over his last six games, and now he gets a terrible secondary to go nuts on. Give me Darnell Mooney, baby.
All right, Erickson, who you got this week to must start?
Khalil Herbert. This is the matchup you want. Like, we talked about Dave Montgomery earlier on. So basically, every time I submit my rankings, it says, it seems like you are too high on Khalil Herbert. Are you sure you want to submit your rankings? And I'm just like, yes.
I love when the rankings do that.
Of course I want to submit Khalil Herbert.
Before you publish this and make a huge embarrassment of yourself and this company, are you sure you'd like to do this? Because just pointing out, you're much higher on this player than everyone else.
And I just yell at my computer, be like, have you seen the Lions play defense? Like, I'm starting Khalil Herbert, 6.2 yards per carry over the last 4 weeks. He has more rushing yards than Dave Montgomery over the last 4 weeks. Snaps, don't care. I do care about them. Full transparency. But Khalil Herbert has shown that even with a reduced workload, he's still getting it done. Only six carries separate him and Montgomery over the last 2 weeks. So I think there's enough volume in a run-heavy approach against a horrible run defense where Herbert can get there. He may not be able to take the job, but he's going to help you win your fantasy week.
Man.
Just got some breaking news here, by the way, too. Not only is Darren Waller on IR, but also Hunter Renfrow goes on IR, too.
He was never healthy because he was never doing anything when he was playing.
He's never been right. So
all I heard was bet the Colts money line.
I know. This is getting absurd. What's that number, by the way? What is it at now? Somebody go
I don't know. I got to look it up. We'll have to look it up.
I will go
for the BP
find
show.
It on Betting Pros right now and figure it out.
I mean, this feels like the Jeff Saturday upset of all upsets. Like, Jeff Saturday is going to be dancing on
Maybe
the sideline.
Maybe my Michael
And Josh McDaniels
hate.
Is going to look like he just sucked on a lemon.
It's only, you know, hey, don't look. Tell me in your mind what you think that money line number is. They're on the road, no less, too.
Plus 150?
It's plus 180. You're pretty good. I would have thought it would have been at least two. I'm shocked.
I mean, I was okay. So I will say I cheated a little bit with your tone a little bit. I was like, okay, I was going to go plus 200. I can't go that high. He sounds negative about it. Okay. Let's shade.
Oh, that's good. That was good. That was very nice deductive reasoning. You must have done very well in your SATs.
I have moments.
All right, here we go. My sit of the week. Earmuffs, Erickson. It's Cortland Sutton. I have had enough. I don't need a bye. In fact, I wish he would have stayed on a bye. And if you look at the last 3 weeks, Cortland Sutton's been on a bye, but nobody's told him that they were actually playing. So I'm out. It's over. I'm with you on Dulcich. I like Dulcich. I'm all right with Judy. I got no love here. And the worst thing is he's playing the Titans. And the Titans are a defense that likes to drag you down into the muck and play down to their level. And that is not a good situation for Russell Wilson. I'm telling you right now. So they're a very physical team. They're a very well coached team. They went in there and they gave Kansas City fits for a couple quarters. The Titans are not fun to watch, but the Titans are a good, well coached football team. And they're going to, I think, give the Broncos all they can handle. So I'm out on Cortland Sutton. I'm sorry, Andrew. So why don't you go sit somebody else and go get your shine box?
We can't all be right. So Gabe Davis for me, just concerned about no Josh Allen. I'm not sure if you guys have any particular takes on the news. We haven't got any definitive news about Josh Allen not playing. I think it's leaning towards him not actually suiting up to play, being labeled day to day. To me, indicates that it's probably going to be Case Keenum, and Gabe Davis has obviously been so boom or bust. We talked about the Vikings earlier. I mentioned they have a really bad red zone defense, and Gabe Davis has no red zone targets this year. He has two red zone targets. They're just not featuring him as much in the red zone as they have done in years past. So are you guys out on Gabe Davis too if there is no Josh Allen? I feel like his floor ceiling is just not there without
his quarterback. I'm out on Gabe Davis, but I'm in on Diggs. It's not like those two guys didn't play together. It's not like he hasn't had some huge games with Case Keenum in the past too.
Yeah.
Keenum is actually, I told you, I think on the live stream earlier today, I actually picked up Keenum. I had Mac Jones on a bye and I didn't really have another quarterback in the Superflex. I picked up Case Keenum just in the off chance. And if we do get Case Keenum this week, I'm going to throw him out there.
Revenge game, man. Against the Vikings.
Revenge games.
Diggs.
Him and Diggs. Okay, sure. You like their revenge? All right.
I like it.
All right. Go ahead. Yep. Go ahead. What do you think about the Gabe Davis without Josh Allen here?
I'm in fading Gabe Davis. I'm going to throw this back to Erickson real fast. Where do you have Gabe Davis ranked right now? Because I think we're probably hand holding on this one as well.
I know I have him outside the top 30. Because
I've got him at wide receiver 31. I look at him as a mid wide receiver 3 because I'm with you. Like I think we get Case Keenum. I think labeling Josh Allen as day to day is the same thing as calling Keenan Allen day to day. They're both not real. So
Do you want to know where I have Gabe Davis or you just don't care?
It's fine. You can throw it in there, Joe. I guess I'll care.
No, not now. Now you don't care.
Oh, now you're not going to get naked with
check the website.
Now we're going to go check the website. Oh,
maybe you have Gabe Davis higher than you should. Maybe you should go back and take a look at that before you publish this.
Okay. All right. Well, as soon as I hit submit, the rankings are going to tell me, are you sure you want to put Gabe Davis as a wide receiver 3?
All right. Go ahead. Give me the must sit of the week for you, Dave.
Well, all right. So the guy that I got to go with is Terry McLaurin, and I'm just going to lean into the points that Erickson made. I mean, it is shutdown city going against the Philadelphia Eagles outside corners. Darius Slay, Bradbury, they have held perimeter wide receivers to the fifth fewest. I'll get this out eventually.
Good job.
Fantasy points per game to opposing perimeter wide receivers this season. So yes, I'm out on F1. I don't want to start Terry McLaurin. Before we get to our must flex guys, I got to point something out in this podcast, guys. And I need to ask a question here.
I don't like the way this is going at all.
We have mentioned Darnell Mooney. We have mentioned Khalil Herbert. We have mentioned David Montgomery, all as the guys we love. How many points are the Bears going to score this week? What are we sitting over under? Like, if all these guys pay off, what do we say? Like, they score 30, 35 points? I mean, the total is high. I'm just pointing out, we love the Bears this week. Are they going to put up this many points?
Well, the total is high. So the total is 40.5.
Their implied team total is high, too. It's like top five. It's like third or fourth on the week.
I just want to point that out because I think people could listen to this episode and be like, that's a lot of Bears. Are they going to score that many touchdowns?
It's a lot of Bears, but it's a lot of Lions. And I'm not buying what happened last week. I'm not buying it at all. Like, just because the Green Bay Packers struggled and the Lions got up for that game and they took it to them.
Woof.
That was great. That was fun. That's over. It's done. Forget. We move on now. Lions defense is still bad. They're terrible against the run, too, and they're going to run this football all over the place. And look, there's going to be opportunities, I think, for these points. I think that's the point we're making is there's opportunity for points, which means when there's opportunity for points, you get those guys in there instead of trying to look around and saying, oh, maybe I should play, Robert Woods or Treylon Burks this week or something. No, just because somebody's no. I don't care. You go find the plot spots where there are potential points. And the Bears Lions, there's potential points in that game, especially more on the Bears side. I'm with you. I'm a little worried about the Lions right now and what's going on with them offensively. They did not look good offensively in that game either. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget. Okay, so D-Bro, did we get to your sit of the week? I don't even know if we did. I don't think we did.
Yeah, McLaurin. I don't want to play him. Bye-bye.
Good. Very good.
Flex appeal.
All right, let's get to the flex appeal, guys. Terrace Marshall Jr., I somehow been brainwashed by Derek Brown, and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid now. So
yes, you love to see
how it goes. And Pat Fitzmaurice also spoke well of him, so I've moved him up in my rankings, and yes, I am going to play him. But again, there's danger here because you just don't know what happens at quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. That's something that we always have to be aware of. But I would start him in a lot of instances, especially some of these guys that are hurt right now. He's healthy. He's starting to get it. That's a good thing for Terrace Marshall Jr. D-Bro, who's your flex appeal of the week?
Well, Joe, I got to give you a little bit of shine here. Where do you have Terrace Marshall ranked?
Now you want to know?
Yeah, now I want to know. I can throw it back to you.
Terrace Marshall, I've got at
I care about your ranks,
35
Joe,
right now. So right
I'll
at the
see
end of
35 and I'll bump you to wide receiver 29.
Well, that's just nuts. But I appreciate you're crazy. That's just crazy, though.
It's okay. I mean, right. my brand of crazy has been paying off with Terrace Marshall.
It has.
And I'm going to go down the well. I am firmly in lockstep with Andrew Erickson on this one. I have Donovan Peoples-Jones at wide receiver 30 for the week. I think he gets into the end zone. He's been dancing. And for everybody that, look, I'm not the biggest Donovan Peoples-Jones stan in the world. I'm not. But we also have to give credence to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Over the last three games, he's been wide receiver 33, wide receiver 34, and wide receiver 34. So while people might be rolling their eyes at the fact that I have Donovan Peoples-Jones and lockstep with Erickson, I got him as a wide receiver 3, I think that that's what he's been producing as. And he could outproduce this rank this week if he actually scores a touchdown. And the fact of it is he's been the Browns' main weapon against zone coverage, and the outside corners for the Dolphins have been in zone coverage since week 6, 56-57% of their snaps. And Peoples-Jones leads the team in yards per route run and PFF receiving grade against zone. So, DPJ, let's go.
I'm mad because when I sent out the show sheet, I had another name in there, and I went to go change it to Donovan Peoples-Jones, and you had already taken it. Too late for me. That's on me. For once, I didn't get the guy that I really wanted to first, but that's okay. I'm glad you finally got your guy because you have a lot of complaining on this show about how you're late to the sheet and then we took your guys, a lot of excuses.
I've learned my lesson with that.
Very quick. You were so quick on the trigger. I didn't even get to go in and make my change. Jeez, already got the names in there. All right, Erickson, who you got in there this week at the flex appeal spot?
I'm going with George Pickens, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Continuing our Steelers love here. Pickens leads the team receiving yards since week 4. And that's despite the fact he caught 0 passes the last time we saw him play on 3 targets back in week 8. So I'm just excited to see him take on a bigger role. Not necessarily more playing time, but more volume coming his way. Because Deontay Johnson's getting his volume. Like, I don't think that's really going to change. But Pickens and Pat Freiermuth should see more looks and more opportunities against the Saints secondary that without Marshawn Lattimore, like, they get decimated against teams that actually have wide receivers. Like last week against the Ravens didn't have any receivers, so they couldn't do anything. I think George Pickens can get stuff done this week, and he's someone that you should be trading for. Like, he was featured in my buy low list because great schedule for the Steelers coming up. And guys, just to be frank, he's got that dog in him, man. Like, it's as simple as that.
I can't wait to see the tweet with the X-ray with the dog inside of it, because that's
it's coming.
Definitely coming on Sunday.
It's
definitely
coming
to see that.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's get to our listener mailbag straight from our Discord, fantasybros.com/chat, free to join. But our premium friends, they get access to AMAs, stages, and they get to be on the show like this. I make you famous. Let's go to Botbug. Should I start Montgomery, Herbert, or Foreman in a flex spot in the 10-man PPR league? So, Derek Brown, you've only got room for one of these jabronis. Who's going in, Montgomery, Herbert, or Foreman?
It's going to be David Montgomery. Again, going to go with the matchup, going to go with the snap count.
All right. Erickson, same for you?
Yeah, Montgomery's definitely the safest out of all three of these guys, and I just don't see him really failing in this particular matchup, where the other two, you could see paths where they just totally dud out.
Very true. I can't deny Montgomery's the safest, but I don't like to play it safe. So give me Herbert. That's right. No playing it safe for me. I want Khalil Herbert. I want the better running back, the guy who's going to go out. I'm sick and tired. You know, it's week 10. I am sick and tired of things. One of those things I'm sick and tired of is Courtland Sutton. And another one is David Montgomery. Sick and
I cannot
tired.
Believe.
Let's go.
I
Khalil
cannot
Herbert.
Believe you didn't go with your mans. I can't believe what, you didn't go with Dante
well, no,
Foreman.
See, I don't know tonight. With Chuba back, I don't like the
oh,
I know
oh, now
Herbert
you got Chuba worried. Oh, that's funny.
Were you worrying when he had three touchdowns a couple weeks ago? I remember a live stream where Erickson said to me, and I quote, he doesn't have any touchdown equity in this game. And I said, he's got equity for at least one in this game, and he had
I was
three.
In on Foreman on that game. Thank you very much. I got
yeah,
laughed
you weren't
off
on the, live
the show
stream, so
because
it doesn't matter. You weren't on the live stream that day. That was Dr. Evil
we just
day
need,
on the live stream.
You know, it's funny. When your Foreman love is put to the test, you went with Khalil Herbert. Just going to put that out there.
I am all business. It's never personal with me. It was good for Foreman for a little while, and now this week we're on to something new. It's about winning every single week. That's what we're doing now. We're trying to stay alive. So hopefully all of you are still alive and in the hunt for the playoff spots. And I'm sure if you've been hanging out with some fantasy pros that you are. And if you're not, well, there's still plenty of time to get back in that hunt. Don't give up. Never surrender. And of course, if you're watching on the YouTube, make sure you drop some comments here. I want to know, who are you starting and sitting this week? Let's hear from all of you. And don't forget about fantasypros.com/contest as well. We're giving away an Austin Eckler jersey. Drop a 5-star review of the pod wherever you get your pods and go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter today. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code JOEYP at manscaped.com. Again, that's JOEYP at Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. And also, don't forget about Fanimal. The next time you need tickets, go to Fanimal.com or download the Fanimal app and use that promo code FANIMALPROS for $25 off your first purchase. That's Fanimal, F-A-N-I-M-A-L. .com promo code FANIMALPROS again for your next concert or ticket experience. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Derrickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.